I greet you in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. According to the statistics, in Singapore, in the year 2003, there were 6,561 divorces, the highest in more than 6 years. Out of these 6,561, 2,000 belong to the Muslims, and the rest from the rest of the nation. It's an increase that has caused us great concern. Many people are getting married for all sorts of reasons, and some of them are marrying at a younger age. The mean age at first marriage for the groom is 28, for the bride is 25. In 1998, for the groom it was 30, for the bride it was 27. These statistics are available from the internet. How long do you think they remain married before they divorce? The mean duration of marriage is about 12 to 13 years. That's a long time. So it does not mean that just because you have been married for 10 years, you will not think of divorce. The average age for men at divorce is about 40. For the women, it's about 37. Wife as petitioner for divorce is about 63 to 66%. That means the primary culprit would be the men. That's why the wives sue for divorce. Divorce and remarriage is a very large topic. So we shall focus primarily on divorce, and then at the end of it, I'll mention a little bit concerning remarriage and what the Bible teaches concerning remarriage and what the Westminster Confession of Faith teaches concerning remarriage. In Mark chapter 10, verse 2 to verse 12, we are given a scenario whereby the enemies of Christ had only one agenda. And that agenda was to try to find fault with the Lord Jesus Christ. And so they posed him this question with the singular purpose to tempt him, as verse 2 reveals. The Pharisees came to him and asked him, is it lawful for a man to put away his wife? Tempting him. It was a trick question. What was the trick? In those days, there were two schools. One belonged to the Hillel group, the other belonged to the Shimei group. The Hillel group teaches that anybody can divorce anyone for any reason. Adultery could be one of them. Another one could be the husband is not happy with the wife's cooking. You can divorce. For any reason, you can divorce your wife. The other group, a little bit more conservative, it belonged to the Shimei group. Only because of adultery can a man and a woman seek divorce. They try to trip the Lord Jesus Christ. Perhaps another temptation is this. They knew that according to the law of Moses in Deuteronomy 24, that Moses gave permission for divorce. And apparently in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 5, verse 21, they perhaps may have concluded that Jesus Christ was against divorce completely. And so maybe they are trying to pit the Lord Jesus Christ against Moses. If he say, cannot divorce at all, then Moses would be wrong. And if he agrees with Moses, then perhaps he caused himself to have made an error in the Sermon on the Mount, and that would again discredit his teaching as someone who is not consistent. So this question of trying to tempt the Lord Jesus Christ resulted in this wonderful reply. And of course, his reply would be so accurate and so amazing and so biblical that the temptation would fail miserably. And this was how the Lord Jesus Christ answered them. Now, notice how he answered a question with a question. On many occasions against the enemies, he would do that. But when you ask the Lord Jesus Christ questions sincerely out of a genuine desire to learn, to be teachable, the Lord Jesus Christ will not reply a question with a question. He will just give you the answer. He will teach you to find the truth. But in the case of these enemies, he asked them a question. What did Moses command you? And they said, Moses suffered, that is, Moses permitted to us to write a bill of divorcement and then to put her away. So they understood the scripture. They know about Deuteronomy 24. There was a provision for divorce in the Old Testament that when the Israel nation was born in the Promised Land, God anticipated that there will be problems in marriages. And so Moses gave them this bill of divorcement in anticipation of marriage problems in the land of promise. And if you were to read Matthew 24, 1 to 4, you realize that very often it is due to after marriage, when the husband perhaps finds that the wife is not a virgin, the wife may have committed fornication, then he can sue for divorce. But here the Lord Jesus Christ gave us the reason why this bill was given. For the hardness of your heart, he wrote you this precept. Precept means a casuistic law. It is not an apodictic law like the Ten Commandments that is absolute. This is to be applied on a case-by-case basis. In other words, the bill of divorcement is given in Israel as an escape clause. It is never given as a reason for breaking up your marriage. It is not given as an anticipation, as an excuse for you to, at the slightest drop of the hat, sue for divorce. It is never meant to be. This was never the case. It is because of the hardness of man's heart. If you turn to Romans chapter 1, you will read about the many characteristics or sins committed by an unbeliever. And in this long list, you will realize what a hardened heart is. This is a reference to unbelievers who reject God. And God said they will become vile. Verse 25. They will turn the truth into a lie. They will worship creatures rather than the Creator. And verse 26. So God gave them up to their vile affections. And the first vile affection mentioned here is none other than homosexuality. Homosexuality is categorically condemned in the Bible in verses 26 and 27. And then the list continues on in verse 28. People with a reprobate mind, unbelievers, would do things such as this, verse 29, filled with all unrighteousness, including fornication, that is, premarital sex between two individuals who are not married. And this is on the increase. Wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents without understanding, covenant breakers, that would be people who sue for divorce, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful. This is a description of someone with a hardened heart, someone who is an unbeliever. And because of this state of affairs in the heart of a sinner, Moses gave the bill of divorcement according to God's inspiration. But it was never meant to be. Look at the situation around us, and you will find that this hardness of heart is global. Every which way we turn our heads, we see sin of fornication all around us. You find it on television, you find it in the movies, you find it in magazines, you find it in the internet. You find it everywhere, and it is so tempting. Interviews teenagers nowadays, and they will say to you without any shame at all that they would have no problem losing their virginity teenagers as young as 13 or 14 years old. What is happening to our world? Young people, please take note. If you call yourself a Christian, please guard yourself. Guard the purity that God had intended every child of God to protect. Unbelievers would behave in this manner, and it is expected because they are dead in sin. That's an unbeliever. But we are talking about Christians, believers, who name the name of Christ. Watch out. Guard yourself by making sure that you do not go to movies, do not buy magazines, do not read magazines, do not find yourself in places where you are prone to commit sin. Couples preparing to get married, please make sure that your conduct and behavior is beyond reproach, even the appearance of evil. Impropriety must not be found in the lives of the Christian. Young couples who have no shame for a few dollars go on holidays together, and they will share the same hotel room. But they will admit and say that we have not done anything. Are you sure? The fact that you go on holiday together is wrong. You should not go on holiday together without a chaperone, without a third party. You are not married. You should not go on holidays together. And to go on a holiday together, which is a very common thing to do nowadays between two unmarried couples, and you stay in the same room together because you want to save a couple of dollars. What is happening to our world, where impropriety becomes the norm, where we just do as we like, we dress in such a manner to excite, to titillate people? Jeans are getting low cut, very low cut nowadays. Christians must never buy that kind of jeans. If you have them, burn them. It is indecent, don't you think so? It is indecent. And watch out for those kind of clothing that are immodest. Don't wear them. Throw them away. Doesn't matter how much it costs. The name of Christ is priceless. When Christians wear that kind of dressing, it's unbecoming. It's shameful. Dress modestly, please. Because when girls dress in that kind of fashion, what are you trying to send out? What kind of message are you sending out? You are sending out the simple message that you want men who are attracted to your physical body. And you want this kind of men who have this kind of worldly criteria to be your life partner, to be your husband. Is that the message you want? The Bible's teaching is clear. Let every godly woman realize that the adornment is not outward, but inward. Let godliness be the attractive feature in your life, so that when men look at you, they see the godliness in you, because only godly men can see godly things. You dress in a worldly manner because of the flesh, you're going to get a lot of carnal men calling you up. And when you get married to this carnal man who marry you because of your looks, rest assured that no amount of Botox is going to help you. You're going to grow old. You're going to wrinkle up. And then when men marry you because of looks, and when you lose your looks, they're going to find someone younger and somebody else. Why do you think the divorce rate for men is 40? 40. Every age of marriage is about 10. Then they divorce. This is the state of affairs. Hardness of man's heart. But the Bible teaches us that the Christian is supposed to have a heart of flesh. Is that not the truth? And so therefore, divorce for the Christian is not even a last resort. It is a very unwelcome, distasteful, wicked thing, sinful thing. And very often, the man is the culprit. Why are men the culprit? Men are the culprit simply because of this truth. Dare not call it a weakness, because if you call this a weakness, many men will jump on it. See, this is my weakness, I can't help it. Ephesians 5 made that very clear. Woman's weakness or the wife's weakness is refuse to submit to the husband. Man's weakness, attracted to more than one woman. Right? That's man's weakness. Better admit it. Better realize it. That's why God said to the husband, you love your wife and your wife only, and this love that you are supposed to give to your wife is patterned after God's love. The entire passage in Ephesians 5 uses only one word for love, and that is agape love. Agape love is unconditional, it is sacrificial, it is a love that God gave to every Christian. It is the love of God shed abroad in the heart by the Holy Ghost at the time of our conversion. And so every Christian, you have been given by God this love. And so God is not asking the Christian husband to exercise a love that God has not already bestowed upon him to exercise. And you have to be singularly devoted to your wife and nobody else. Nobody else. And when you show your wife this kind of love, she will be more than happy to submit to you. More than happy, knowing that you will not betray her submission. Know that you will not betray her trust. And so when both parties, the wife learned to submit to the husband, and the husband learned to love the wife, like Christ loved the church, and the wife would submit as unto the Lord, the marriage will be so sweet and so wonderful and so precious. So precious that you won't even want to think of divorce. It's when one party commits adultery because of the hardness of the heart. A person who commits adultery, and you call yourself a Christian, and when your sin is pointed out, you refuse to repent, and you continue in that sin. First thing you must do is check your salvation. Because the Bible made it very clear that if you are a Christian, you will not commit adultery continuously. You will not do it. You will repent of your sin instantaneously, knowing that it is a terrible sin, knowing that it is heinous, it is offensive to God. You will not do it. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9. This is what the Bible says concerning a Christian. This was your old life. Please note, God began by telling us in verse 9, shall not inherit the kingdom of God, and how God aims it in verse 10, shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Please note, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived. Don't deceive yourself. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers. Adulterers are worse than fornicators. Fornicators are sexual sins committed by two unmarried persons. Adulterers, not only do you commit the sin of fornication, but you also break the marriage covenant. Nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind. That would be sodomy, homosexuals. Nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. Full stop. You call yourself a Christian and you continue to live in sin, the sin called adultery, which the world may not put you into prison, which the world allows it as an alternate lifestyle. Nowadays, young couples don't even get married. And they just simply live together and live in sin with no shame at all. The Bible made that very clear. If you call yourself a Christian, please understand what is at stake. It is not your name. It is your salvation. It is the name of Christ that is at stake. So couples, young person, looking for a life partner, please make sure that you marry only in the Lord and nowhere else and no one else. Only in the Lord. The hardness of the heart is not a joke. It is a serious condition of an unbeliever's disposition. This is what an unbeliever is like. And if you are a Christian and you are married, please flee from every sin, especially that of fornication and adultery. Don't make excuses, don't point fingers, don't blame anybody but yourself if you have committed this sin. Don't blame the wife. Husbands, if you have committed this heinous sin, deal with it. Be like King David. The moment the sin is pointed out, confess it, admit it, and memorize Psalm 51 as your psalm. Because that was the psalm that King David wrote after his sin of adultery was pointed out to him. And he cried to the Lord from the depths of his heart. And he meant every word of it. And he begged God for mercy. And he was prepared to acknowledge his sin. No looking for a scapegoat. No pointing fingers outside, but only inside. I have sinned and I have sinned against you. He did not blame Bathsheba. He did not blame God. He did not blame anybody else but himself. That's what it means to be a man or a woman after God's own heart. Don't be like King Saul. King Saul is a man after his own heart. He blamed everybody but himself whenever his sins were pointed out. And when you sin the sin of adultery and you look for a scapegoat, you blame your wife, you blame this, you blame everybody else except yourself. Check your salvation. Please, check your own salvation. You want to live a brief moment on this earth in sin, and then you put your entire eternal life in jeopardy and you end up in hell. That's a very, very foolish thing to do. Very foolish. Please do not treat this sin lightly. The hardness of our heart. As a Christian, you are to have a heart of flesh, not a hardened heart. And so the Lord Jesus Christ gave us the proper understanding of what marriage ought to be. Bearing in mind the hardness of man's heart, the bill of divorcement was given. But it was never meant to be. From the very beginning of creation, God made them male and female. The marriage covenant was not a result of sin because this was given to Adam and Eve before the fall. Read Genesis chapter 2. The sin came in Genesis chapter 3. It was given before the fall. And it was a wonderful, wonderful covenant. God deliberately had to create in Adam this sense of incompleteness when he was asked to name the animals two by two. He realized that he was alone. There was Mr. and Mrs. Gorilla, Mr. and Mrs. Monkey, Mr. and Mrs. Horse, Mr. and Mrs. Everybody. But there is only one man, Mr. Adam. And so he realized that he was incomplete, and once God placed in his heart this sense of incompleteness, God put him to sleep, and then out of his rib, God created the woman. And when he woke up, he realized that this is now my life partner, my helpmeet, bone of my bones, flesh of my flesh. This is the person whom I'm going to share my life with happily, whom I can relate to, whom I can give my complete, total confidence that I cannot give to a dog or a monkey or a goldfish or anybody else, but only this person. It's a wonderful, wonderful covenant. One man, one woman. God never intended for Adam to have two wives, otherwise he would have made Eve and somebody else. Man and woman, period. For this cause shall man leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife. This was also given in the last verse of Genesis 2. Who was Adam's father and mother? Nobody. So who is supposed to teach this? The parents are supposed to teach the children. You are to teach your sons to leave home and to start their own home. We are not talking about physical, actual separation. It is an emotional, mental, and spiritual separation that when a man and a woman gets married, the man as the head of the house is supposed to start his own family with Christian principles and guidelines. And sometimes, because of necessity, his father and mother may live with him. in the home. And when you have that kind of a situation, you as the head of the house must make sure and maintain this Christian home where you are to be the head. And you have to make sure that you will love your wife. And if there is a conflict between the wife and your mother, you must know how to deal with it. You cannot be like this terrible, terrible young man. When he got married, this young man told his wife, "We are so thankful and so happy that we can find a flat two stories above his parents' flat." Very happy. Very convenient, isn't it? Just two floors above the husband's parents' flat. And so after they got married, they moved in. So out of convenience, every time after work, they would come home and they will eat in the husband's parents' flat for dinner. And after dinner, they would just climb two floors and they would be home. Wonderful, isn't it? So this went on for a few months. Why don't we do the same for breakfast? Yeah, why not? And so they change and they just go down for breakfast, and after breakfast, they would go home, go to work. Then they'll come back and they will have dinner, and then they just go up. Convenient, isn't it? But the wife felt that this is not home. She told her husband, "I think we should move somewhere else. This is not good. We are not establishing our own home. Basically, this husband has not left father and mother and has not cleaved unto the wife." And so he was basically forced to make a decision, mother or wife. And sadly, the Chinese wrong thinking is, I can only have one mother, but I can have other wives. That's the Chinese thinking, is it not? Or maybe not only the Chinese, but that's the sinner's way of thinking, regardless of race, regardless of language. And so this foolish man chose the mother and divorced the wife. And he was disciplined by the church for this terrible decision. Leave father and mother. Cleave unto your wife. If you are not prepared to do that, don't get married. You are not ready for independence and interdependence. There is a process. While you are young, you are dependent. Dependent upon your parents for everything, your emotional needs, your financial needs, everything. And then as you grow up, you learn independence. And the independence part must include emotion as well as financial. Not just financial, but emotional as well. And once you have learned to do that, then only you enter into relationship, because in every relationship, there is an interdependence where not only must you look after your own emotion, but the emotion of your life partner as well. Because when the life partner is sad, she's going to tell you, or he's going to tell you. And so you have not only to carry your own emotional ups and downs, but that of the other person as well. That is interdependence. And if you are not prepared for that, don't get married. That's why premarital counseling is not a formality. There are times when we decided that it is not good for this couple to get married, we will say, "I'm sorry, we can't marry you." But if they insist on getting married, well, they can still get married, but somewhere else. It is not a formality. Please understand this. And the first question we ask any couple for premarital counseling: any sins to confess? Have you committed fornication? Please answer truthfully. Any divorce? Any remarriage? Please answer truthfully. It's serious, because there are too many divorces nowadays, even amongst Christians. Cleave unto your wife and nobody else, please. Leave father and mother and cleave to your wife. The emphasis is on the man here, verse 7, because that is man's responsibility. And man, most of the time, is the culprit. You are the head of the house. Not only do you become the breadwinner, that's the easiest part to do. Easiest, to work hard and to bring in bread and butter. But it is the head of the family in terms of the spiritual responsibility that is yours, to make sure that your wife becomes more and more godly in the process, that your children become godly children in the process. Not just go into good schools, not just go into good universities, but they may grow up to become men and women after God's own heart, just as you are a man or a woman after God's own heart. This is what it means to have a godly home. This is what it means for the husband and the wife, the Christian husband, the Christian wife, when they get married. It is more than just making babies and seeing them grow up and giving them good professions and good jobs. And then I have done my duty, now I can go to the grave smiling and happy. Think again. If that is your perception, then you and I are no different from the unbelieving world. Where is the spiritual dimension? Heritage that you pass on to the children is spiritual, and it is not supposed to be material. Spiritual. Not the big bank account, not the flashy cars, not the big homes all over Singapore and even all over the world. These things are not important. It is the spiritual aspect that you must pass on to your children. That they are God's children. They are sons and daughters of the Most High God, just as you are. This is the most important thing that you and I must work on as a Christian parent. That's what it means when you cleave to your wife as the head of this new home. This is your God-given responsibility as a Christian. And they twain shall be one flesh, so then they are no more twain but one flesh. The closest human relationship on earth is between husband and wife. No other human relationship do you find in the Bible where God says, till death do us part. None at all. Between brothers and sisters, one day when both of you have your own life, you're going to separate by necessity. Between parent and child, for the husband, you have to leave. For the daughter, who give this woman to this man? You give her away so that she can become a wife with a new home. But for the husband and wife, only till death do us part. And who is in charge of death? God. So God is the only one who can say, it is now time for this marriage covenant to be over. And so God may take one party home. So God is the one who decides, not you, not me, for the Christian. Because a Christian is not supposed to have a hardened heart unless you are a fake. You are not a true Christian. Then you can contemplate divorce and think of adultery as an escape clause. It is most exasperating when we hear from the lips of professing Christians telling us that it is God's will now for me to divorce my wife, and I'm sure that this woman, this girl, this lady that I have been living with all this while is God's will for me. And now I'm supposed to divorce my wife and forget about my old life and begin anew. Forgetting the past, right? Philippians 2. Forgetting the past, rubbish. Rubbish. But there are professing Christians who think this way in order to satisfy their carnal lusts. They twist the word of God for their own benefit. But the Bible made it very clear. Husbands and wives, guard and protect your relationship no matter what. Don't let your job become the hindrance. If you allow your job to become the hindrance, then you have failed miserably. You provide your family with all the material luxuries, and then you have a strained marriage relationship. You have failed the Lord. You have failed yourself. You have failed your children. It's a poor, poor excuse. Please remember, the closest relationship between two human beings is husband and wife. Christian husband, Christian wife, protect and guard this relationship at all costs. You have made a vow and you have sealed it in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. And therefore, whom God had joined together, let no man put asunder. No man. Let no one tear you apart. Husbands, you have committed adultery. God knows, you know. Repent. Ask your wife to forgive you and be prepared to bear whatever consequence that comes. Read Psalm 51. That's exactly what David cried to the Lord. Have mercy on me, O God. I acknowledge my sin before thee. Someone who has sincerely and truly repented of this sin is prepared to acknowledge the sin to anyone. Be prepared to accept whatever consequence is needed in order to show the genuine nature of your repentance. Please, don't sin this sin ever again. David never did. After Bathsheba, you realize that he never committed this sin ever again. Please don't. Wives, learn to submit to your own husbands. It is a reversal of the curse that you find in Genesis 3:16. In Genesis 3:16, we remember the curse of increased pain in childbirthing. But we forget the last part of verse 16 where it talks about how the woman will now desire. And the word desire doesn't mean that you're going to love your husband more. The word desire means you're going to usurp the authority of your husband. But he will rule over you. So there will be this tension, the woman refusing to submit, and the husband will continue to try to put the woman down. But after you are born again, Ephesians 5 made it very clear, you are now born again, you are now a child of God. God says, I have given you now the ability and the humility to submit to your own husbands as unto the Lord. It is as if God is telling you, it is a reversal of the curse in Genesis 3:16. Submit to your own husbands as unto the Lord, even when the husband is sometimes very, very unreasonable. Submit to him cheerfully as unto the Lord. So long as he is not asking you to do anything that is criminal, anything that is immoral, anything that is blasphemous to God, anything that is unbiblical, submit. Submit to your own husband cheerfully as if you are doing it unto the Lord himself. And husbands, love your wives. Love her with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind. Unconditionally, please. Love her. Let the love that you have for God be the key. Be the overwhelming love that you have for your wife. Can you do that? That's how you love your wife. Because when you love God with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind, you will also love your wife biblically, properly, correctly. I'm not asking you to love your wife at the expense of disobeying God. That is not love. When you love your wife, you always want what is best for her. And sometimes you may have to tell the wife what is best according to Holy Scriptures. Please, guard this wonderful marriage covenant. Don't think of divorce. It is never meant to be. God understands the wickedness of man's heart. And that's why the bill of divorcement was given. Because if a man continues in an adulterous relationship, and after he had been told how wrong he is and he persists in it, the wife can go crazy. The wife can go crazy when the husband brings that woman into the house, when the husband continued to flout and sin in such an open manner, they could even kill one another. They would beat one another up. And because of all the hardness of the heart of men and the wicked things that men could do to one another, God says, all right, divorce. Divorce because of the hardness of man's heart. But for the Christian, how can we? Please, whatever differences you may have in the family, in the home, deal with it. If it is pride, say sorry. Just go and say sorry. If you have whatever problems between the husband and the wife, apologize. The head of the house, make the first move. Don't say, I can't. Your pride says you can't. Put on the mind of Christ and you will be able to. You are the head of the house. If the family relationship is strained, it is your duty and your responsibility to make the first move and go to your wife and say, please let us make up. Enough is enough. Too many days and months and sometimes sadly even years that our relationship has been strained. Whatever it is, for the sake of Christ. Don't say for the sake of the children. Not enough, because once the children are grown up, you're going to divorce. Because that's exactly what happened in my friend's family. We met him in seminary. He was brokenhearted when his parents told him, after they had been married for 30, 40 years, that we have been staying together simply for the sake of the children. Now that all of you are married and grown up, we want to separate and we want to divorce. And so they divorced. And it broke his heart. They were in their 60s and they divorced. Don't say for the sake of the children. Say for the sake of the Lord Jesus Christ, whom both of you love and both of you have admitted and acknowledged is your Lord and as your Savior. For his sake and for your soul's sake.
make up.
What is hindering yours, two of you, from having a wonderful and happy relationship? Pride, isn't it? You made the marriage vow, have you not? Have you so soon forgotten what the content of the vow is? Till death do you part? Forsaking all other, only you and you alone. And then now because of some slightest little problem and because of your pride, you allow your relationship to be strained for so long. Husband at the head of the house, make up. Go up to your wife and say, I am very sorry, please forgive me. For whatever I've done wrong, I'm sorry. Make up. Make up for Jesus' sake. And don't let this strained relationship continue to persist. And maintain a wonderful relationship, praying together, reading God's word together, serving the Lord together, study God's word together, be involved in the church, in the adult fellowship. The adult fellowship needs more adults. Needs more adults to be involved and to attend. Study the word. The word is the thing that is able to sanctify, to renew your mind and to build you up. Because when you as a spiritual person is close to God, rest assured, God has promised us, all your other relationship will fall into proper place when your relationship with God is close. When your relationship with God is far, is strained, when you are not close to God, rest assured, all other relationships will be in jeopardy. Your attitude toward your job will be off, will be worldly. Your relationship with your wife will be strained. Your relationship with the children will also be strained. But the moment you are close to God, you realize you will be changed completely. You'll be more patient. You'll be more long-suffering. Your attitude, your outlook toward your job will be proper. Your relationship with your wife will also be proper, will be godly, will be loving. Draw close to God. That's the secret. That's the key that will unlock the happiness in your home. Draw close to God. When you stray far away from God, it will not help. Keep close to the Lord. There are many Christians here who would be more than happy to have sweet Christian fellowship with you. Come and pray together. Pray for your family, pray for yourself. But you say you don't feel like praying. That's the best time. That's the most needful time in your life that you should pray. When you don't feel like praying. When you don't feel like praying means I don't feel like depending upon God. You think you can run your life, your family, your own way without God's help? You're going to fail miserably. God says, I am prepared to hold you by your hand. And when you are too tired, I am prepared to lift you up in my arms and carry you to help you build a godly home. Why do you ignore me? Why do you not want my help? I am prepared to give it to you. God says, hold on to Him, and then you will have a godly home. A godly home that will bring glory to God, that will help your children see Christ and see God in your life. And your sons and your daughters will be so happy to ask you, Mom, Dad, I want this Jesus that you believe in. And then you will also learn how to choose a life partner. And you will also learn to build your own godly home in the future. As young people, parents, what do you long for your children? Good jobs, big house, or a godly life and a godly home? If this is what you want, choose you this day whom you will serve. Make your choice, because time is not on your side. Every month that passes by where you point your children in the worldly direction, they will go. If you point them back to the godly direction, then it is not too late. Don't let time slip us by, because it goes by very fast. We are already in the month of March, and very soon it will be Christmas, and it will be another year gone. During this year, how have we pointed our children? In which direction have they been heading toward? Godly or worldly? Husbands and wives, your relationship, godly or worldly, don't let the worldly aspect dominate any further. Stop it right now. And let husbands and wives mend whatever strained relationship you have for Jesus' sake. And build on that. and ask the Lord, from henceforth, give us godly husband-wife relationship. For remarriage, you find in the last two verses, whosoever shall put away his wife and marry another committeth adultery against her. And if a woman shall put away her husband and marry to another, she committeth adultery. The innocent party in the case of a divorce based upon an adulterous relationship is allowed to remarry. The innocent party. Now, this is what the Westminster Confession of Faith states in chapter 24. Point number 5. Adultery or fornication committed after a contract being detected before marriage giveth just occasion to the innocent party to dissolve that contract. In the case of adultery after marriage, it is lawful for the innocent party to sue out a divorce and after the divorce to marry another as if the offending party were dead. Now, this is the Westminster Confession of Faith. This is found in our church constitution. But the proof is to make sure that the innocent party is really innocent. And once that has been established, that person can remarry. You find this also taught in Holy Scriptures. We do not have time to go into that. We shall focus, as I said, only on the divorce. So please do not welcome divorce. Don't even think of divorce if you are a Christian husband and a Christian wife. Don't even think of it. It is for those who have a hardened heart. You don't have one. Please, don't even consider it. Whatever difference, whatever disagreement you may have, resolve it according to Scriptures and to the glory of God and with the mind of Christ constrained by His love. Resolve it as soon as possible. Let not the sun go down on your anger. Deal with it, please, for Jesus' sake. Let us pray. Our merciful, loving Heavenly Father, Thou knowest the strained relationship that some of us might be harboring. We may have been putting up a front, a facade for others to see, but help every husband and every wife to deal with the relationship of marriage, for it is a holy matrimony given to us by Thee. And help us, O Lord, as Your children, for every husband who loved Thee, who confessed the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, teach us to love our wives as Jesus Christ loved His church. And for every Christian wife, teach them to submit to their own husbands as unto the Lord. And help us, Father, with Thy strengthening and with the humility and constraint by the love of Christ, that we may build godly homes and that our children may see Christ in us and glorify our Father who is in heaven by becoming Christians themselves. O Lord, protect our families, protect every husband and wife relationships in a world that is wicked, and may this life that You have given to us truly bring glory and honor to Thy holy name. For we ask all these things with thanksgiving in Jesus' name. Amen.